It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions 18+. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to that Chelsea podcast where Chelsea left it late to book a quarterfinal place against Leicester City at Stamford Bridge. Joining me to look back at a dramatic night at Stamford Bridge against Leeds United, it's Miss Jessica Flotter. Jess, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. Even more so now, because if there ever was a curse on Chelsea not winning, that's definitely behind us now. So now we had like two qualifications. One with a draw, one with a win. And I think the last time that I was here, we also won. So good times.
Yeah, well, Chelsea have been pretty inconsistent. Jess is quietly strong. Three wins in a row, three progressions in the cup competitions in a row. So who knows, maybe if I'd had you on for Sunday against Liverpool, we'd have won the Carabao Cup, but it's too late now. As always, with guests, I get them to give themselves a plug. So just tell people where they can find you if they want to see all your thoughts about Chelsea on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm at J_Rota, and feel free to say hi, and I'm always open to talk about football, especially about Chelsea, so.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Jess's links will be in the description below. Right, Jess, let's get into, before we break down the game, let's kind of just get into it. A 3-2 win against Leeds United, where, I'll be honest, certainly in that second half, I thought Chelsea got completely outplayed and shown up by a championship side. It was kind of quite an alarming watch, to be honest, but also I think one that not many of us were too hugely surprised by, because I think given the manner of what happened on Sunday, I think a lot of us were understandably very nervy about the prospect of facing Leeds, and that was before they, even get into that Leeds are in great form themselves and are flying high in the automatic promotion places in the championship. But yeah, Jess, thoughts? That was not very good at all, but it's cup football, job done, but alarming, especially given the fact that Leeds were also without quite a few starters themselves.
Yeah, I think that we saw a lot of red flags today. If they weren't there before, they are certainly there now. As you said, Sunday should have been enough to show us what we could see today, but then... And I mean, we had Leeds, and they won like 9 games in a row before facing us. So I was definitely expecting something difficult, definitely not pretty. But then I saw the lineup, and they had five starters rested, and arguably their best players. Their entire pretty much attacking threat was on the bench. So I was like, okay, we actually can do this. I was only a bit concerned about how tired the squad was in terms of the number of days that they didn't have to rest and all of that. Not that it made much difference when it came to the Carabao Cup. But It was worse than I was expecting, to be honest. It was such bitter. It was very bittersweet. I think that's the feeling that I get at the end, that I got at the end, because we were very, very poor. Some players were visibly tired, like Malagusto. There were questionable decisions by the manager again. Some experienced players just looking very sluggish, not interested. And it was just very frustrating, but we managed to get three very, you know, brilliant moments with Nicholas Jackson, Moises Caicedo assist, and Mudryk Stanley assist, very, very nice for that goal. And then obviously Enzo and Khan at the end. So just very tidy finishes, that, you know, something that we don't normally see, I can say, and that has been a problem in the past, but outside of those three moments, it was bizarre. It was just very, again, I can see a main reason for that being tiredness, but it's bittersweet. I will always celebrate Chelsea winning. That winning feeling is fantastic, against Leeds even more so. But I had questions before today, and now I feel like those questions were not answered, and now I have even more questions, if that makes sense. So it's just not a very peaceful place to be, I think, as a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I don't think, you know, Chelsea just essentially limped past Leeds tonight and they said, just, you know, for one night at least, just, you know, ease the mood and ease the positive feeling. But I don't think it really changes anything. And yeah, so I don't think we've actually learned a lot. There probably are a lot more questions than answered before the game. So Jess, Chelsea go 1-0 down. It is a disastrous start. Called out, playing from the back. De Zerzi plays sells Caicedo a bit short of a dodgy pass. Caicedo is tackled, and it Mateo Joseph, who had never scored a senior goal before, scores his first senior goal for Leeds. Just an absolute shambles, 8 minutes in, and I don't want to, you know, and it is just a shambles from De Zerzi and Caicedo, but just generally, I just thought, even before that Chelsea back line just looked shaky at the start anyway. Obviously, Alfie initially had a rough start adapting to playing left back. I think sort of towards the end of his time pitch, he actually was doing quite well and sort of did quite well against Daniel James. But certainly at the start, he had a bit of a shaky moment that led to that chance. It was bizarre because obviously in England here, it was on ITV4, and we actually didn't see the goal live because they were still showing a replay of Daniel James's missed chance, and then all of a sudden it's cut to Leeds scoring and going 1-0 up. But Jess, it was just an absolute mess, and I don't want to necessarily, you know, I don't blame on Sanchez for that goal, but Chelsea just in general, so even at the start of the game, just looked very nervy defensively, and that was obviously the one change we see come in. And I didn't necessarily have a huge issue with it, seeing that I kind of view it as, okay, Petrovic is number one, Sanchez is now back, he can maybe be cup keeper, and look, he should be able to help us get past Leeds. But Sanchez, for all the talk about him sort of in his ability playing the ball out the back and stuff, like even him at the start also had some shaky moments. It was just a horrendous start. And again, just a common theme that Chelsea start games, but also halves, pretty horrendously at the moment. Both halves against Liverpool were really poor. I said the Crystal Palace first half was abysmal. I said the extra, you know, went, I said the Liverpool, all four Liverpool halves in the cup final. Just an absolutely horrendous start, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have one positive aspect that we need to address and a couple alarming ones. I'll start with the positive. I like how this group of players under the current manager seems to be able to fight back when they are 1-0 down and go there and score goals. And it's something that we didn't see under previous managers. So we saw Chelsea go 1-0 down. It was like, okay, that's it, game over. And so this is something that I quite enjoy, the fight that we see to get back into the game. And it's been happening a lot this season, so I appreciate that. The alarming aspect for me, I have a couple. It's quite funny. Then again, I understand in terms of the choices that the manager made because of, you know, having players injured and all of that. But just, you know, Alfie left back, as you said, it just didn't really make sense to me. I almost feel like there's this element of a lack of courageousness, if you will, from Posh. There are good left backs in the academy that he could have tried at least for a couple of minutes. I kind of understood where he was going from with Gusto, and then Gusto out and having Chile in. But I think that, you know, you had Samuel Smith in the bench, Ishe. So I, in my opinion, he could have come on. And so I have questions there. And as you mentioned, the goalkeeper, I'm not 100% convinced that Petrovic has earned his spot as far as the manager goes. For me, definitely number one. But I'm not convinced. Maybe I'm just pessimistic when it comes to this. But I think it's a major factor. I like, for the first goal, as you mentioned, I don't think he was at fault for the goal directly. But one, I think he could have done better. And two, you know, people keep saying that he's better with his feet because he tries a lot more passes. And sometimes we do see that with Petrovic. He just, you know, gets the ball very, very far or something like that. But at the same time, you know, I tweeted once that Petrovic is just one of those goalkeepers that make you feel confident, make you feel safe. And I think our backline feels that. So I we look a lot more shaky when we have Sanchez in goal. But I agree, I'm okay with him being the second choice, but it's just that I'm not yet confident that he is. I just saw this game as an opportunity for him to get back on it because he was coming from injury. He wasn't on the bench first for a game, and now he's starting this game. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen going forward in terms of who's number one, who's number two.
Yeah, fair enough. Just as you mentioned, one of the positive things about Chelsea this season is, you know, under pushing it, is they do have a habit for sort of recovering from a setback, and they do equalise 7 minutes later. It's Nicholas Jackson, which meant that he becomes the second Chelsea player to have scored 10-plus goals across all competitions this season. Not a single player reached double figures in 22-23. And Jesse, you know, it's a nice goal. It sort of involves Nonny to Moises, and then Moises plays a nice, nicely weighted ball for Jackson to slot through Melia's legs. And yeah, just again, it was on a, you know, on a night where I don't think Chelsea actually showed great quality. They were just able to, in moments, to show that quality. And that, you know, quality in that moment was able to get us an equaliser. Just obviously, Jackson, I think that's now 2-2 for him in the FA Cup this season. Say double figures for him, you know, quietly having a decent season far. And just something I kind of noticed with Moises, like I said, if it kind of maybe gets overlooked by people, because, you know, he gets another booking from, you know, quite a poorly timed tackle, and he does lunge into tackles with it. But he's also way to pass, and he, in action the final third area, is something that's become quite useful. He is certainly, you know, we noticed sort of in something I've noticed sort of in the recent months, though, is that he, in an attacking sense as well, he's, you know, giving Chelsea an option there as well, you know, with, that's another assist for him. But yeah, that was just a really, really lovely goal to get back level, wasn't it?
It was my favorite goal of the night in terms of how we played it. I think, and it's just my opinion, obviously, for me, Moises Caicedo was our best player today. I think he is very harshly criticized by the media at times, because, as you said, he is rash a couple of times. He has a lot of yellow cards and all of that. But I just think he's a brilliant player. He has everything. And I believe that the longer he plays alongside Enzo, you know, the better we're going to become, just because they need to understand each other and when to go forward without compromising our defense. And right now, as we talked before, our defense is not that reliable yet. We look shaky. There are still individual mistakes happening. So, you know, I'm interested to see how Lavia would come into a situation like that, or how Andre Santos would come into a situation like that. But to me, he has been fantastic. It's just lovely, as you said, of, you know, in terms of assists and how he can make himself available for those sort of passes. So I just think it will come with understanding. We will see, you know, with Enzo, when one goes up and the other stays and all of that. So I think we'll see more of that as time goes on. And Nico, again, underrated, a lot of criticism from the media. But to me, he has been having a very, very solid season with Chelsea. First season in the Premier League, first season in English football, as you mentioned, past 10 goals for someone who was a left winger, just converted as to striker, and he was, you know, he missed games going to AFCON and all of that. So I just think his numbers, you know, back him up, and I'm excited to see his future in the club.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed. And Jess, again, Jen Chelsea go 2-1 up, and again, it's just really, you know, a nice play. Raheem Sterling plays a nice ball back to Mudrick, and it, honestly, Jess, probably one of my, you know, you mentioned Jack's goal is your favorite goal, but that Mudrick finish, I was like, wow, that was a really nice finish from Mykhailo Mudrick. It now means he has scored in every domestic cup competition for Chelsea. Jess, I guess it was a big night for him. Obviously, he came on in the Carabao Cup final against Liverpool, looked completely lost when he was out there. Obviously, he gets beaten in the air for the header by Van Dijk, but the wins at Liverpool, he shouldn't have been marking Van Dijk, but, you know, that's a separate thing. Jess, it kind of felt like, you know, quite a big night for him. How do you kind of think he did overall? I think the first half was certainly a lot better than the second half. I think the second half, he probably faded a bit, but that first half, you know, was lively and encouraging for Mykhailo Mudrick, I thought.
I agree. It was interesting when we saw the rumors, at least when I saw the rumors of him playing at the number 10 role, let's say like that. I was a bit, I wouldn't say confused, but I was just intrigued to see how he would do, because I think everyone assumed Sterling would play there, but I don't think it was a position he played in for very long. I believe he played for Shakhtar there, but only when he was like 19 or something. So it was just a question mark. And I think he did fairly well. In the beginning, I believe he looked a little bit lost, and I could see Enzo pointing to where he needed to be and a couple of players talking with him in terms of his positioning, but he just seemed to be a lot more effective centrally. His finish was absolutely superb. Absolutely superb. I was not expecting that at all. I think he did a lot better than in the most recent games. But I have a lot of question marks when it comes to him, because earlier in the season, I believed he was like doing like a crescendo. He was playing well. He was getting better and better. I could see improvement. And then he was suddenly dropped. And after that, he couldn't really find his footing anymore. And I don't know how much of it was due to confidence or something like that. So I think it was just like an important goal for him. I was very, very happy that he was able to do that. And then after the substitutions, he kind of moved away from the central area and more to the wing, and he wasn't as effective. So it leaves you with a question whether or not we should see him playing more, you know, through the middle, and hopefully he will get more chances in the future.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And just that put Chelsea 2-1 up at halftime, and you know, you kind of go into halftime going, okay, well, 2-1 up, hopefully Chelsea from here will kick on. But Jess, that second half performance was kind of just completely unrecognisable. We got completely outplayed by Leeds in that second half. We didn't really offer anything till obviously Connor's winner at the end. And Jess, that second half was alarming, and it kind of makes some point, and I guess it's kind of all the more alarming when you consider what we saw in extra time. Then Poch kind of said, what Poch said then was the players were tired. But then when you kind of see them play like this at the start of the second, if you kind of wonder, well, is that, you know, is it tiredness again? Is it Poch, you know, Poch telling them to play like that? But like many of us thought, he, you know, set them up to play like in extra time before he denied that. Or Jess, if he's not asking to play like that, is it again just another example potentially of his messaging just not getting through to the players? Because that second half, was just so, so bad. We were completely getting outplayed by Leeds. And fair play to Ethan Ampadu and young Archie Gray for them in midfield. They were kind of running the show. And then just we kind of got what we deserved when it's a lovely ball, I believe, from Jadon Anthony, ball dipping over sort of Trevor Chalobah, and there's Matteo Joseph to get his second of the game and equalise it to all. And I mean, just, you know, really in the second half, it kind of only looked like, it looked like Chelsea were trying to just hang on, and it looked like Leeds were going to be the team that would eventually go through. It was an awful second half, wasn't it?
It was one of the worst halves I think we saw this season. It was abysmal, actually, in my opinion. As you said, we were completely dominated. I think Leeds looked like scoring and getting the win when they brought in Somerville. I thought, okay, that's it now. You know, they are adding attacking quality. They're starters and we are very, very tired and it's going to happen. But thankfully it didn't. And we managed to find that beautiful moment with Connor. But this is what I meant when I said I had questions because, and I think you already said that today, we seem to start games very, very slow. And even and that repeats itself in the second half. So there is I'm at a loss here to find an answer. As you said, is it what the manager is saying or not saying during halftime or before the games? Is it just tiredness? I understand them being tired, but I don't think that justifies it repeating itself over and over again. For example, last game against Liverpool, they had a lot, you know, they played 3 days before. We played 8 days before. So how does that justify us not having legs in the second half? And if that's the case, you know, isn't the manager's job to find solution to utilize his players better, to rotate and use the academy players? So there's that. But there's also a question of whether or not is a strategy. Here in Brazil, the pundits were talking about how it was possibly and probably a choice of the manager. You go 2-1 up and then just, you know, defend and try to get that counter and punish the team on the counter to you know, end the game. But that to me makes, I wouldn't say it makes no sense, but if that's the case from the, you know, if that's your choice, then it's even more alarming to me because we haven't showed any solidity at the back. Or, you know, we came talking about today a lot of individual mistakes at the back with the center backs and the fullbacks and your choices to depend on those, you know, on the same people that have tire lags and are doing all of that to defend a lead. That's just, it's not the best solution. And, you know, I think that solution is okay during certain games or circumstances of a certain game. Or when you have a defense that you can absolutely count on. But we keep seeing it over and over again against teams that we shouldn't be needing to do that. You know, I know Leeds are second in the championship, but it is a championship side still that didn't have five or six of their starters. And do we really need to be relying on a defense that hasn't been great to defend a 2-1 lead when we were actually starting to, you know, to play a little bit better by the end of the first half? So I have a lot of questions when it comes to this, and I don't want to pin it all on the manager because I do think that a lot of sectors within Chelsea have to take accountability from the ownership, sporting directors, manager, and the players. I don't think there is a sole person or to blame. But when it comes to this issue, I do have to question the manager in some of his decisions because right now, I'm leading towards believing it's a choice, and I really, really don't like that. And if it's not a choice, isn't it his job to instill the mentality in the players? And I don't see him doing that. So, again, I have questions. I don't like to bring anyone under the fire, but we have to be objective, and that's. I have questions. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Then it's just, you kind of mentioned, you know, Chelsea's approach. That approach would kind of be more fitting of the championship side if they were 2-1 up in that situation. Instead, in that second half, it looked like Leeds were the premiership side and Chelsea were the championship side. No, it was really bizarre. And I mean, Jess, it kind of shows that Chelsea do get a late winner. It's Conor Gallagher saving Mauricio Pochettino's bacon again. it's a really nice move. Enzo sort of drives the ball, you know, plays it to Connor, who manages to, I think it's Firpo with his touch, kind of gets away from him, then socks past Melier. Jess, it's obviously a really nice finish from Connor. It's a really nice goal, Jess. But also, we kind of saw for three times Chelsea actually showed moments of quality. They scored three goals. Like, Leeds were there. Leeds defensively were there to be got at. It kind of just kind of showed at the end, just kind of showed how bizarre that whole second half approach was. That when we did actually sort of finally try and attack at the end of the game, we scored a goal. But yeah, just thought it was a lovely, lovely goal. Nice assist for Enzo, lovely finish for Connor. Obviously, it would have been nice if one, you know, some of that could have been used at Wembley on Sunday. But Jess, it's been, you know, a decent month or so for Connor Gallagher in front of goal as well.
Yeah, I think, what's his number now? Do you have his stats, his latest stats? Because I think he did like four, he scored like four goals in the past five games or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have those stats right now. But I think he has shown his importance to the side, at least under this manager. So, it begs the question of the whole contract situation. What's the plan here? Are they trying to see if the manager will stay? Do they offer him a new contract? And we go back again to the questions. Right now, it just feels like there's a disconnect, not only when it comes to the fans and the manager, the fans and the current squad, but just the hierarchy of Chelsea, you know, with the academy, and are they backing the manager? If they are, how are they not offering the contract to one of his most important players? And I'm sorry, I'm going back to the same subject as before, but it makes me wonder, and it doesn't add up in my mind. But as far as Connor goes, it's just interesting because today I don't think he played well. I don't think Enzo played well. And if people know me, they will know Enzo and Cole are probably my favorite players right now. So, you know, but a moment of brilliance, they show their quality, and they were able to secure our goal. And just both of them, and Connor, obviously coming from the academy, have that thing that I believe it's so important, particularly given the circumstance that we are in, which is this disconnect that I was talking about, to have that player that understand what it means to play for Chelsea, that wants to fight for the club, and just saw, you know, during the celebrations, how he connected with the people in the ground. It was great to see. And I'm just really, really happy for him and waiting to see what happens in terms of his contract.
Yeah, indeed. And then at the end, we see a debut for young Jimmy Toranian. I think I'm hopefully saying his name right. I probably butchered it. And yeah, Chelsea win 3-2. I'll just give some other quick thoughts. I think Malagusto had a bit of a ropey night, but I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be pretty leaning on him, given he played full 120 against Liverpool. And I don't think there was a need for him necessarily to start this game, but he did. As I said, I thought Trev, you know, was a bit shaky, but again, it's his first start in forever. You know, hopefully he can just, you know, get a run of form to keep himself in contention. As I said, Sanchez, I don't think necessarily did a whole lot wrong tonight, but he didn't exactly cover himself in glory and push his case to make sure that he should be number one. Said Moises, I thought was good tonight. Enzo, yeah, he gets the assist, but I said I do think he's quite damn, but I said Leeds' midfield too perhaps impressed me more than Chelsea's midfield too tonight. Jess, we have one player I haven't actually mentioned, Lonnie Madueke. I thought he kind of has a bizarre game because he's involved in the first two goals in a small way. But then you kind of see that shot from the corner routine from Mudryk that's just horrendous. It was just weird, Jess. I can't just go to a wider point. Talking about Chelsea in the game as well, I didn't like, you know, when we talk about Chelsea, like, they scored three nice goals, but I just thought Chelsea structurally were just a mess. Like, I couldn't really explain anything I was seeing other than it just looked like players were just in just all over the shop, really. Some faults on Lonnie, but I just thought in general, we're just kind of a bit of a mess on the pitch setup wise as well.
I think you summarize it perfectly. We didn't have any structure. It looked weird at times. Out of possession, we were playing like a Christmas tree. I think it was like a 4-3-2-1 and sometimes a 4-2-3-1. It was just so weird. I think, I'm thinking about all the players, because I was about to say that every single player played below par today. I think that might be accurate, but I would exclude Moises out of this equation. But so it's hard for me to judge for instance, Nani or because I think he was absent most of the game, but as you said, he was involved in two games. And then I had Rez, who was annoying me throughout the whole game because he was not tracking back and all of that and didn't really look interested. But then he gave that beautiful assist. So I just think we've looked individually and collectively really, really poor today, which is why I don't think there is a single person to blame. I think it's on the manager. It's on every player that was there. It was just not good enough. Yeah. But it's so weird because we came with a win and I'm just so happy that we won. And against Leeds, fantastic. You know, you should be celebrating. But at the same time, you're just looking at it and it's just, it feels dismantled, disconnected, as I said before. And it's like you have this feeling that, okay, we won, we qualified, great. But whenever a defeat comes, it's almost like you know all of the toxicity is just coming back full force. And that's just not great to be in. It's like walking on eggshells. I feel this Chelsea and particularly the manager now, it's like we're walking on eggshells. And at any moment, a bad result, it can all crumble. Because today, it's a saying that we have in Brazil, which is like, venceu, mas não convenceu, which means that we won, but we didn't convince anyone. So it's like we won, but the performance was not convincing. It was just all over the place. And I don't think you can find one Chelsea fan that can say we were good or we were the better side. In my opinion, we were not the better side tonight. But I'm, again, incredibly happy that we won. But I just have questions. I think that's going to be my word for today. Questions. I have questions.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Yeah. Indeed. And as said, I'm kind of willing to be a tiny bit more lenient given that they did have the Carabao Cup final on Sunday. I'm more willing to be, to accept the tired excuse. Although again, Poch, you do have other players. You can play. You can maybe try and trust some of your academy players more. Just look what Liverpool.
Can I pose you a question though, or at least something to make you think? So, for the longest time, I was very, very not as lenient, but I was like, okay, they are tired, or we have a lot of injuries and all of that. But it comes to a point that you just say, well, enough with the excuses, and I know that sucks, but that's the reality. And if you take the Carabao Cup, as I said, Chelsea had 8 days to prepare for the game.
Yeah. So just Liverpool, let me be clear. I'm not making any excuse, but I said that excuse on the last pod against Liverpool. I said that has no weight at all because Liverpool played 3 days before. They were down to bare bones before.
I know. What I'm just like, let me just get into the conclusion. So you have that, you don't have the tiredness excuse. But now you have the 3 days that Liverpool had and they didn't use it and you want to use it now. And then you're going to have a game against Brentford coming up with, players even more tired. So what happens? Do you use the same excuse, or at what point do you look at the academy that you have and questions, even with the sporting directors, of loans that you allowed to happen? And, yes, we brought Cassidy back when he was having a great loan, or starting to have a really good loan because he was starting to start games for Leicester, but he is cup tied. And then you send Andre Onon, who was not cup tied, and questions like that. And when do you look at your academy and say, well, I have to use Leo more, or I have to go to Tyreek George, or I have to go to David Washington or Sutter? And you see, I'm not saying that we need to build a side full of academy players to compete and everything. But when you have academy players and you don't use them, or you don't use the depth that you have in the games that you could have used them, so early cup ties and all of that, I'm not going to accept the tired excuse, you know? As I said today, you could have seen for a few minutes, in my opinion, Ishe, you could have seen him today, and we didn't. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. I understand that he wanted to win and all of that. But as I said, even previous games in the cup competitions where we could have used players and rested players and rotated more, we didn't do that. And we knew that it was coming to this, to a lot of games in a short period of time and all of that. And we didn't use it. So it's just hard for me to reconcile that. Do you know what I mean?
No, look, I agree. And I said, again, people won't love this, but Liverpool won 3-0 against Southampton tonight. All three Liverpool goal scorers were from the academy. I get it. As I said, I'm more lean tonight is because I do think as well, there's probably just some emotional hangover as well from Sunday. It's not just the physical nature of it. It's probably some emotional hangover. And it is a bit different from just playing, you know, a Premier League game even a few days prior. But in general, I do kind of agree that he has got a squad. And there is some talented players there. Like he can use Alfie, and he plays Alfie tonight for 60 minutes. And I think Alfie, after a shaky start, actually does all right. So it is kind of one of those. And and you're seeing Leeds tonight, you know, their young striker up front, they're putting faith in him for this game. And you do sometimes see a problem. I mean, it's a choice, right? It's ultimately a choice. And he has just chosen not to do that, whether or not that's just simply because he feels he does not have the security of the football club to try and make these choices right now. I don't know, but yeah. No, I agree. And I imagine that if we struggle at Brentford on the weekend, that there will be the excuse wheeled out that we played midweek and Brentford didn't, because Brentford are already out the FA Cup. So we wait and see for that. But Jess, the draw has opened up for us. So the option of losing another cup final to Liverpool is still very much on. Chelsea have a home tie, again, another home tie. Every single game Chelsea played in domestic cup competitions this year has been a home tie. Spare a thought for Graham Potter last year, who got Man City twice away from home at the first opportunity. But yes, it's Leicester at home, so another Championship opponent. The road to Wembley, the road for FA Cup success continues. And, you know, I think it's a pretty good draw. I think the only, you know, better draw it could have been was if Chelsea maybe got Coventry in the next round. But Leicester at home, Jess, I mean, we can't complain when you get into the quarterfinals, and Chelsea so far have played every game at home, and, you know, the only team they played in the Premiership is Aston Villa. You can't really complain with that. And it's a great opportunity, I guess, Jess. But as I said, yeah, just thoughts, Leicester next. That will be, that now takes place when the Arsenal game in the league was meant to happen. The chance for domestic success continues, but based off what we saw tonight, if we kind of see a similar performance, it could be another tough night against Leicester. But just thoughts, Leicester in the next round of the cup, it's you know, we're one game away from a Wembley semi-final.
When you think about it, it's crazy, isn't it? Because we managed to get to a final at Wembley, and we have a clear path to Wembley again. Doesn't mean that we're going to get it, but we have good chances. We couldn't have asked for a better draw, at least outside of Coventry, as you said. No excuses for me. No excuses. The pundit here, again, in Brazil, as I was watching the game, I'm from Brazil, obviously, if people didn't know, I was watching the game here, and he was like, well, now that Chelsea qualified, the FA Cup becomes the World Cup for Chelsea, because it's, you know, it's where we need to focus. It's our route to the European competitions, is our route to silverware. And I'm just glad that our season didn't end in February again. So we have more games to look forward to.
And say Manchester United take on Liverpool in the next round. So that's one of those teams going out. And I say Newcastle take on Manchester City, I believe, as well. So again, one of those teams will go out. And it obviously just depends away the draw, but you know, there is a potential, say if the draw is kind, but Chelsea could find themselves in another Wembley final. But Jesse, I just kind of glad you said, like, you know, just now that, you know, sort of becomes in Brazil, as comes Chelsea's World Cup final, and you said, like, I mean, the season's not over in February. I guess just how big do you think tonight was for Maurizio Pochettino? I said, I don't think we necessarily learned anything. I don't necessarily think that performance actually did him any favours. But just for, do you think it basically just kind of, I think a lot of us probably don't imagine he's in charge of Chelsea next season, unless Chelsea get a form of European football, which you'd have to imagine right now would probably be through winning the FA Cup. But I guess for you, does it basically just keep him? Is the FA Cup basically just now his route to succeeding at Chelsea? Do you think that is his only route now? Any way he makes it into being the Chelsea coach at the beginning of next season?
I mean, if you're talking numbers and mathematics and the points that we get in the league, it's not the only route because Chelsea can still climb up the table. But it's the most obvious route. It's the most accessible route, in my opinion. And also, I think there's the mental aspect. I think we have it's Brentford, Newcastle, and then we have the quarterfinal. So let's say we get good results against Brentford and Newcastle, but then lose the quarterfinal against Leicester. What happens in terms of the belief and the mentality and the fans and the backing? So I think it's a lot. There is a lot more than just the results on the pitch and the points in the league. And so I think the FA Cup is huge in that sense, because I believe that even if we win against Brentford and Newcastle, if we lose against Leicester, then all the questions and the satisfaction, all of that's going to come back stronger, because it seems to get stronger and stronger. Because when you look at the results that we have recently, they're not even that bad. I think we have 8 wins, 3 draws and 3 losses. But that just doesn't seem to be any belief left in the fans when it comes to not only the manager, but the current situation with the ownership and sporting directors and the way things are right now. So I would have said that the Carabao was actually the year, obviously it was the final, but in the sense of the manager, because I think it would be a weight lifted off his shoulders and maybe he would be a little bit more brave and courageous and try different things and the belief for the young players. I can't say how big the FA Cup win tonight is, because I still think we have to take one game at a time, because any defeat now will kind of make everything crumble, in my humble opinion. Even tonight, we won, but if you're looking at X or Twitter or whatever, there just seems to be a lot of dissatisfied fans and people not impressed with the performance, and saying that the manager should leave now, even with a win. Others saying that he should leave in the summer. So I don't think, I believe he won a little bit more time, but how much time, only time itself will say, because we're going to be depending on getting good results after good results, or at least consistent performances that make the fans believe in what we're seeing.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And as Edda said, if we are in quite an unhealthy state right now, just where every game is sort of a referendum on Mauricio Pochettino, as Chelsea coach said, if the unthinkable had happened and Leeds had gone on and got that winner tonight, I do not even want to imagine what the scenes would have been like full time inside that ground or just in the coming days, because Chelsea season would have been over by the end of February. But it's not. As I said, the FA Cup is, a viable route to success for Chelsea. So, Chelsea did bounce back against Leeds. I think all of us thought it was going to be tough, and it did turn out to be tough. It would have been nicer if Chelsea played well, but they got the job done and they find themselves in the quarterfinals for the FA Cup. So the season still has life in it. And yeah, it's been a dramatic evening, a bit of a tense evening, but Chelsea got the business done. So that is all that matters. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of our Chelsea podcast. I want to thank Jess for coming on. Jess, before you go, give yourself one last plug where people can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, X at @je_frota, FROTA. So just send a DM, talk and reply or whatever. I love to interact with any and all of you. I also wanted to thank you, Nick, for having me on again, and to apologize for it not being such a huge, happy and positive episode, even though we won. But I hope that we can finish this on a positive note, and happy that we qualified and happy that we can enjoy the FA Cup run for a little bit further, and just hope that things get better and you know, it was very nice to see how the players came together during our last go in the last moment. So, you know, up the Chels, and hopefully we can bring that trophy home.
Indeed, indeed. Jess's links will be in the description below. As for us, we are on Twitter or X at Chelsea Pod, Instagram as well, at Chelsea Pod. If you just want to search on all your usual podcast providers, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. If you haven't followed or subscribed already, that's that Chelsea Podcast. We should come up whenever I tweet the pod, any likes and reposts go a long way. At the end of the day, we are just Chelsea fans talking about the one club that we love. And yeah, they make it difficult at times. They make it annoying. They make it tense. They make you pull your hair out. They make you question a lot of things. But they got the business done tonight. They keep the season alive, which is the main thing. So until the next episode, everybody, keep the blue flag flying.
Sports Social Podcast Network.